verses 1 to 28. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on the pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. Sorry, it's on page 1188. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, and let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Final instructions. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Rejects every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
And Tishe, let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we know that our enemy, the devil, would love to distract in any way possible. And so we pray against his tactics, and we pray for your help, the help of your Holy Spirit, to enable us to hear your voice as we come to your word now. Please help us. We need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our particular verse for today is verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. That's not actually our verse for the day, but it would be a good one. Let us not fall asleep in today's service, but to be awake and with sober minds listening to God's word. Our actual command is there in verse 26. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, that's not what it says in verse 26, but it is what it says in various other places in the Bible. Romans 16, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Paul writes it again in his first letter to the Corinthians, greet one another with a holy kiss. And again in his second letter to the Corinthians, something very similar in what we read just now, greet all God's people with a holy kiss. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter gets in on the act as well, and he says, greet one another with a kiss of love. So this isn't just a kind of a side comment that isn't very important. Actually, five times in the New Testament, God's people are told to greet one another with a kiss. This is obviously something that is quite significant and quite important. But before you start turning around to the people next to you and giving them a big smooch, hold your horses for just a moment, because I think we need to do a brief theology of kissing. What does this actually mean? What is the significance that God's people are called to greet one another with a holy kiss? There are various ways, actually, that the Bible talks about kissing. There's what you might describe as the kiss of romance. We've got a newlywed couple here in the building. I was privileged to witness your first kiss, if that really was your first kiss. The kiss of romance. Is that what we're talking about? The Bible talks about that, for example, in Song of Songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Is it me or is it getting hot in here? It's pretty steamy stuff, isn't it? In the Bible, kisses can be a romantic thing, an erotic thing even. And within a marriage, fantastic. Go for it. This is God's good gift to be enjoyed. When it comes to greeting other people in church, no, this is not the kind of kissing that we're talking about today. Which, yeah. Calm down, Marie-Jeanne. It's not this kind of kissing, which does go without saying perhaps, but it is worth just mentioning that actually whatever this command does mean, and we're going to dig into that in the rest of our time together, whatever it does mean, it certainly doesn't give us an excuse to show physical affection to those that we find attractive. All right, we can't just say, well, it says, you know, greet one another with a kiss, so come here. That would not be an appropriate... This isn't a license just to be really touchy-feely because we want to be. That would be an inappropriate understanding of this command. In fact, actually, in the early church, Christians actually got a reputation for being, oh, that's a place where everything goes because they kiss each other, don't they? So it's all a bit like a... That's not what we're talking about here. It's not really the kiss of romance at all. There's another kind of kiss that we see in the Bible. It's called the kiss of respect. In Job 31, it talks about the kiss of homage. And I think this is something that we kind of understand, don't we? We see this even in British culture. So recently at the coronation of the king, there was the, you know, you saw people perhaps kissing King Charles on the hand. It's a sign of respect and a sign of endearment almost, not quite affection, but a sign of respect and honour to someone who is in a position which is superior. This is the kind of kiss that we see in the coronation psalm, Psalm 2. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. Is this kind of kissing in your culture a kiss of respect or deference? Do you have this in cultures other than British cultures? Anyone? An older person in Greek culture will be kissed on the hand. Men or women kissed on the hand because that's a sign of respect to someone who's senior. Yep. Thank you. Anyone else? From other cultures? Yeah?
Well, actually, when we meet someone, kiss both cheeks.
The kiss both cheeks. Yeah, we're going to get onto that kind of kissing in a second. Is there any other kissing of kind of respect or honour in... I assume this is quite common in cultures, right? No one's given me anything, no? Do you ever, like, other people who kiss hands or maybe kiss feet or kiss the forehead? No, in some, yeah.
In Turkish culture, you greet an old person, you take their hand, you kiss it, and then you place their hand on your forehead.
Okay, I'll say that again for the recording and those online. Turkish culture, an older person, you take their hand, kiss their hand, and then put their hand on your head. So we get this idea of a kiss of respect. Dean is showing deference to Vanessa there. Very good. Like a good husband. This idea of someone who is in a position of kind of superiorness, and so you respect them and you honour them and you kiss their hands or their feet perhaps. That's what we're talking about here in Psalm 2, the kiss of respect. And by the way, for those of us who are not yet Christians, this is a real warning. Kiss the son or he will be angry and your way will lead to destruction. There is only one safe way to respond to the King of Kings, King Jesus, and that is to be in total respect, complete submission. This kiss of respect is a way of showing someone how much you value them and how much you honour them. Just like that sinful lady in Luke chapter 7. Do you remember the lady who wept at the feet of Jesus and then used her hair to wipe his feet and poured perfume? And what else did she do to the feet? She kissed Jesus' feet. It was a sign of honour, a sign of respect. This is how we should kiss Jesus, but it is not how we should kiss one another. Did you notice in our verses how it says, greet one another with a holy kiss? Right? This is something that is two-way. It's communal, actually. It's, you know, there aren't levels here. It's an altogether thing. This is something that we do as equals because we are all in service of King Jesus. We kiss Jesus' feet, but we don't kiss each other's feet. So when Paul and Peter tell their readers to greet one another with a holy kiss, he's not talking about the kind of greeting that puts people on different levels. Now, I understand that there are culturally appropriate ways of showing deference and respect. And I think actually often in Western cultures, like mine, it swings way too far the other way. In Western cultures, often there is very little, if any, respect or honour to those in positions of authority at all. And the Bible does say that we should honour those who the Lord Jesus has given us to care for us spiritually. But I think we should be very careful of any kind of physical interactions that elevate any one of us above any others. That's not what's in view here. So it would be a wrong application of this text for us to say, okay, we, after the service, we as elders, we're all going to sit on this platform up here and you can take your turns to kiss our rings. That's not what's in view here. And maybe we laugh about it, but actually there are some churches where the way that the pastor is greeted or treated kind of sets them on another level, and that's really not what's in view here. We're told to greet one another with a holy kiss. It's something we do together as equals. And so we're not talking about the kiss of romance, you'll be pleased to know. We're not talking about the kiss of respect either. Rather, the kiss that we are to share is the kiss of relationship. And this comes back to what Vanessa was sharing there. The kiss of kinship, you could say. A kiss that expresses and strengthens a deep and a warm relationship. And again, I think this is something that we probably are all familiar with. It's very common within families, for example. We use kisses in families, don't we, to show the depth of that relationship. And that's true in Old Testament times as much as it is true today. Think of Isaac. Do you remember Isaac when he wanted to bless one of his sons? He says, come to me and I will kiss you. Or Jacob and Esau, who were his sons. They had a rocky relationship. But when that rocky relationship is restored, we read that Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. It's also seen in close friendships. Again, different cultures, it might be a normal thing. Is there any culture here, represented here today, where it is a normal thing for men to kiss each other? Yeah? Turkish culture? Yeah? And just shake hands. Just shake hands in Albania. And women kiss each other on the cheek. So it's this kind of kiss that we're talking about. A kiss that happens between friends. So for example, Jonathan and David, do you remember them? Probably the clearest, most beautiful description of friendship that we find in the Bible. And when they have to part ways, they kiss each other and they weep together. To get up close and personal with someone like that, to kiss someone, you have to be right up in their grill, right? And to be so close to someone indicates an affection, a warmth in that relationship. It's actually a position of some a kind of vulnerability, isn't it? Some sort of trust, which is why it's all the more bitter when that trust is betrayed. Think of Joab in the Old Testament. He was a violent commander of David's army. And we read in 1 Samuel that he took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him and stabbed him in the belly. It was a kiss of death, a brutal betrayal from someone who should have been a friend. And then on an even darker day, Judas came up to Jesus and greets him like a friend with a kiss. And by the way, have you ever stopped to consider the humility and the self-control of Jesus in that moment? Think about it. This is Judas coming up to him, displaying this right up close and personal, this display of intimate affection. And Jesus allows that to happen, even though he's fully aware that this kiss of friendship is actually a secret sign of betrayal, a sign to arrest him. Unbelievable that he would let that happen. It must have hurt so much, this kiss of death, because it trampled on a relationship that was supposed to be deep and warm. That's what this kiss of relationship is. It's an indication of a closeness, a kinship between those two people. And within the church, this is the kind of kiss that is in view. A kiss that indicates a special relationship. Do you see how it's described as a holy kiss? What does that mean? How can a kiss be a holy thing? A holy kiss? Well, something is holy if it has to do with God. God is holy, right? And so if something is holy, it has to do with God in some way. So there is something about this kiss, this greeting, which is special and unique to the people of God. It is something that indicates something a little bit different from the way that we would kiss one another. This is a greeting with a spiritual significance to it. It's not the same way that you'd greet any old family member. It belongs to the people of God, and that in that sense, it is holy. This is a command for how God's holy people should greet one another. Only God's holy people can give holy kisses. And I'm not saying that that's like a, it's not like a weird secret handshake thing. It's not like Christians have a like kissing routine that you only get to know if you become a Christian. That's not how it works at all. It might look very similar on the outside to the way that you'd greet any close friend, but it means more because it tells a story. It tells the story of what God has done to bring us together as the people of God. This holy kiss is a symbol of the holy relationship created by our holy God. So it's the kiss not of romance to a lover. I don't know why I looked at you there when I said romance to a lover. Nor is it the kiss of respect to a superior, but rather it is the kiss of relationship to a brother or to a sister. As Peter puts it in his version of the command, greet one another with the kiss of love. And this family love is a big theme of Peter's letter. He talks a lot about the family love that we share, and it's that same family love that we show when we greet one another in a holy way, especially a significant way. So that's what this kissing command is all about. It is a culturally appropriate, physical expression of family affection. A culturally appropriate, physical expression of family affection. And in some church traditions, this continues as a formal part of the service. There might be a part in the service where the person leading says, now offer one another a kiss of peace, or offer one another a sign of peace. And that can be a kiss, or it can be a handshake or a hug, more normally a handshake or a hug in Western cultures today. In the Turkish church, I was talking with Gül, who is a London City Mission pioneer and works with us here on Fridays. She's part of the Turkish church just down the road in Seven Sisters, Tottenham. And she was saying that this is a normal part of how they would greet one another. Every time they come together, they will greet with a kiss on one on each cheek, I think. Although some people then go for a third one and it's confusing. But it's a normal part of that church tradition. For us, probably the closest we get is turn around and say hi to the people near you, which isn't quite the same. We don't really have this in our tradition. But actually, it's a principle that is more broad than just a specific part of the service. I think it speaks into all of the ways that we greet and interact with one another. Our hellos and our goodbyes and everything that comes in between should reflect that something holy has happened to us. Because of the family relationship that Jesus has won for us, our interaction should be distinctively different from the world around us. I did the school run today on my day off, on Wednesday. When I was picking up the boys, I was a bit early, and so I just stood and watched everyone else in the playground. And it was remarkable how little people talk to each other. I mean, yeah, there were some parents who know each other and were friends and chatting. But actually, the majority of people who presumably have been sharing the same patch of concrete for years as their children have grown up in the school, they see each other like every day. And yet most people don't even want to acknowledge you they don't even look up and say hi. It's weird. It won't be the same in every school. It won't be the same in every culture. But actually, it's not surprising because they don't have what we have. They're just a bunch of people who have been thrown together by their catchment area that they live in and the age of their children. But we're not like that. We are family. We are bought by the blood of Christ, united in the blood of Christ. And so it should be different from that. And I praise God that it is here at Silver Street. I praise God for the warmth of welcome that there is. And I sometimes wonder what people must be thinking as they watch us, either as they come in here and see us interact, or maybe they're just kind of watching us as we come and go and greet one another. I reckon it makes people think, that's weird. These people, like they're clearly different. They come from different countries. They come from different social backgrounds. They're different ages. They're clearly not all family. I can tell that just by looking that they're not all family. And yet it kind of feels like they are. Like there's a warmth and it's almost weird the way that they are so. And I praise God for that. That's an amazing thing. That's how it should be. Can I encourage us to keep going with that? To keep going and to keep growing in the way that we greet and interact with one another. And to help us do that, here's a few extra observations about this greeting. The first is that it is culturally appropriate. Depending on your culture, a kiss may or may not be an appropriate way to show affection, family affection. At the time that these letters were written, it was normal practice. Did you notice? Oh, you wouldn't have noticed because we didn't read it in context. But actually, each of those verses, wherever they are, each of these verses, in each of these letters, there is no further instruction given. He just says, greet one another with a holy kiss. No further instruction. It was clearly something. He didn't have to say, oh, and this is how you're supposed to go about doing that, and this is when you should do that. It was just a normal part of what they would do on a day-to-day basis. So the principle here is a physical expression of family affection, and that will look different in different settings. Even within my own family, there are different ways of showing affection. So Zach, to show affection, he will jump on me and hug me with all elbows and knees, trying to cause as many bruises as possible. That's his way of showing love. Safi will lick me, and JJ will punch me. But in each of those ways, they're trying to express, I love you, Daddy, I think, anyway. Unless, maybe it's not. But it will be different anyway, depending on who we are and depending on who the other person is as well. One of the great things about having lots of cultures in our church family is that we do things in different ways. Can I encourage you to greet one another in a way which is culturally appropriate for you? Just because we're in Britain doesn't mean we all have to do limp handshakes and very good to see you, sir. Like if I'm allowed to make fun of my own culture, if that's appropriate for you, then go for it. That's fine. But feel free to express affection, family affection, in a way which is culturally appropriate for you. Of course, we have to bear in mind the other person as well. We want the other person that you're greeting, it needs to be culturally appropriate for them. If you are a hugger and the other person is definitely not a hugger, then it's not the most loving thing to insist that they give you a big embrace. So we have to bear those things in mind, of course, and we have to be careful about those things. But different situations will mean that we can show that family affection in different ways. If I was greeting Emmanuel, I think we normally go for the kind of slap handshake and like one shoulder hug. Rebecca and Krista were outside earlier and you commented on it because it was a bit weird. I came over and I was like, good to see you. I'm not sure what that was about, just a little bow. If it was Mandy, then Mandy, I mean, you have to give Mandy a hug. You can't not give Mandy a hug. Or Anna, who'll be watching online. Anna is someone who kisses me and it doesn't feel inappropriate. You know, so there's all different kinds of ways that it might be a handshake for some, it might be a fist bump for others. But in all of those ways, we can still express this deep family affection, the warmth and the love. All of those things you can do actually without showing any love as well. You can hug someone without love, but you can also handshake, give someone a firm handshake and for that to have real meaning. And so whatever way we encourage and greet one another, we can do it in a way which reflects the family relationship that we share. The second observation is that it is something which is physical. You can't kiss someone from afar. This is a physical expression of affection. That's emphasized by the context of these commands. So in, I've lost them again, but you saw that there were five verses, and in four of those occasions, either the verse, the sentence before, the sentence after was, the church here sends greetings, greet one another with a holy kiss, or greet one another with a holy kiss, the church here sends their greetings. Do you see the point? Paul and Peter are writing these letters from afar, and you can send greetings by post, but it's not the same. He says, yeah, we'll send you greetings, but you greet one another with a kiss of love. This is something which is purposefully physical. It's a deliberate physical act that can only be done when you're in the same place together. And so I think one application of this is that we need to be here together. We need to be in the same room. If you are choosing sometimes to stay away, or choosing to watch online, or if you turn up late and leave early, you're missing out. And you're depriving your family of this blessing of greeting, because when we greet one another physically, it actually strengthens those ties of relationship. I think this came home hard, didn't it, during COVID times. Church online was okay, but it's not the same. You might get the same information, but you don't get the same interaction. And interaction is so important for the church to be what the church is. And then there was that time where we were trying to follow government guidelines, and they said, well, you can meet, but you're not really supposed to talk to each other. That was horrible, wasn't it? It was awful to not be able to greet and hug and kiss and even say hi. Actually, if you found that quite nice, if you quite like coming to church without interaction with anyone, that's not a healthy sign. If you quickly run off after the service every week so you don't have to say hello to anyone, that's not a healthy sign. One commentator says, we would do well to recognize the benefits in interpersonal relationships which come from such close physical expressions of friendship and fellowship in Christ. It is much harder to get mad at someone you have just hugged or kissed. And it's much easier to feel accepted in a fellowship which gives such a warm welcome. Physical expressions of family affection really matter, and they are really powerful. And of course, we do have to be wise and sensitive and above reproach when it comes to physical touch, but we mustn't underestimate the tangible power of an arm around the shoulders or the touch of to an elbow to support someone in grief or a firm handshake. You know, sometimes all you need from people at church is not, you don't actually really want them to say anything, you just need a hug. Physical expressions of family affection strengthen those bonds that we have. And so physical is important. It's something that's for all. Notice how he doesn't name certain people and say, you are the ones who are supposed to be welcoming everyone. He doesn't say, welcome team, you need to greet everyone with a holy kiss. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And so no one is left out. Look at the verse in 1 Thessalonians, greet all God's people with a holy kiss. In the world, people may ignore those that they don't have natural connection with. We can't do that here. People may avoid those that they find irritating or awkward, or brush off those that they're not really interested in, or blank those who've offended them. But this is not the world. God has done a miracle in bringing us together, so don't ignore anyone, greet them. In a moment of quiet, let's reflect on this. Are there any people in church that you have been less interested in? Are there people in church that you are less warm with? Let's in this moment repent of that and resolve in his strength to greet all of his people with these warm physical expressions of family affection. And we do that because ultimately it's like Jesus. So this is our last thing. You've done well to stick with me so far. Keep at it, we're almost there. And this is the thing that's really grabbed me as really beautiful this week as I've been preparing. Think about this. How do you think that Jesus will greet you? When the Lord Jesus returns in all of his glory, and he brings about a new heavens and a new earth, how will he greet you? A lot of that depends on how you've responded to the king. The Bible makes it clear that if you have never bowed the knee to Jesus as Lord, if you haven't, as it were, kissed his feet, then he will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." He will throw you outside where there is darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. But for those of us who have repented of our sin and come to King Jesus in grateful worship, how do you think Jesus will greet you? Have you ever thought about that? How is Jesus going to, you know, that moment that you kind of enter heaven, as it were, how will Jesus greet you? I think in my mind, I've always had this kind of subconscious image of Jesus, like, on a throne over there somewhere, a bit aloof from everyone else. And we're sort of just, like, gratefully filing into heaven together. And I'm not sure that's an accurate view. Now, of course, we don't exactly know, because there isn't a chapter and a verse that says this is how Jesus is going to greet you. But if we take some hints from the way that he greeted others during his time here on earth, I think we get a different picture. Jesus did not shrink back from physical contact. And I love this, because he demonstrated that he was able to heal from afar. He could heal with a word, and he didn't even have to be in the same postcode as the person he was healing. And yet, so often, he chose to physically touch those he was healing. He touched the tongue of the mute. He stuck his fingers in the ears of those who were deaf, touched the eyes of the blind, even touched the skin of the leper. When the little girl had died, he went to her house. He entered her room. He took her by the hand and he lifted her up from the dead. There's something powerful about his physical touch, which communicates a warmth and a depth of relationship. Can you imagine the intimacy of that moment when King Jesus knelt down and gently and tenderly washed the feet of all of his disciples? Beautiful. A physical symbol of the depth and the warmth of his love for them, an illustration of what he then went to do at the cross, which was the most radical physical act of all. His body, his actual physical body was broken. His actual physical blood was shed, dying in the place of sinners. He was the one who endured that darkness. He endured weeping and gnashing of teeth. Instead of a warm welcome, his father turned his face away. He endured the kiss of death to give us the kiss of life. If you kiss the Son, he will not be angry, but will welcome you into the kingdom. If you bow the knee to the risen King, you will be welcomed in. Think of the way that Jesus welcomed all comers. "I'll keep the children away from Jesus. You don't need to bother him with that." "No, let them come to me." And he bounced them on his knee. "Whoever comes to me, I will by no means turn away." His arms are open wide. We don't even deserve to be his servants, and yet the welcome that he gives us is much warmer than that. Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, but friends." In fact, he says he's not ashamed to call us brothers. That's the kind of welcome. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But I think it's safe to say that in heaven, we will get the warmest welcome we have ever received anywhere. It's not like Jesus is going to be like, "Oh, I suppose, yeah, you did ask me for forgiveness, so I guess, yeah, let you in. Nice to see you. Come on in, enjoy eternity." That's not how it's going to be. Jesus is the Father in the story of the prodigal son, the one who sees us from afar, who has compassion on us, who runs towards us, who embraces us, and who kisses us. And so when we get to heaven, there's going to be this wonderful tension, because Jesus is our master, and he's also our brother. We will kiss him on the feet, and he will kiss us on the cheek. If we then have been welcomed like this, let us greet one another with a holy kiss, or indeed any other culturally appropriate expression of family affection. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed again at the beauty of our Lord Jesus, and we're sorry for the wrong view that we have of him often as someone stern and aloof. Someone who is kind of a bit cross with us and a bit annoyed with us and will let us into heaven, but only just. Thank you that we are brothers and sisters of King Jesus, that we're welcomed into his family, that we have been welcomed with warmth, with kisses, with love. You have won for us a relationship that we could never earn for ourselves, and we are so grateful. Please, would that warmth of relationship overflow in the way that we love one another here at church and everyone who comes in amongst us here at Silver Street. And we pray that that would be noticeably weird to the outside world, that people would want to receive this wonderful relationship that is found only in Jesus. We pray that in his name and for his glory. Amen.